You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast Weekly with Eddie Greer and Alex Aiden.
K-State Nation, welcome back to another episode of the Purple Project Podcast, all things K-State sports. Eddie Greer here in Manhattan, Kansas on this final Monday. Yes, final Monday in September, September 25th, 2023. This is the Purple Project Podcast, all things K-State. If you're new to the podcast, welcome on board to the show. Glad you stopped by to give us a listen whenever you listen to this late tonight after the Monday night football games or making us your first listen of Tuesday morning. Glad you can join us for this K-State pod, all things K-State. Don't worry, we'll have it all covered. We got a bye week, the football team does this week, so we'll get you caught up on what's been going on throughout all fall sports through the next 2 weeks. Of course, we're on Spotify, iTunes, Audio Boom, wherever you get your podcast, the Purple Project Podcast. Make sure you continue if you're a current listener or a new listener. We've been getting some new listeners over the past couple weeks here since football season started, so we appreciate your support of the podcast as well. But you know what it is. Monday night, you know what time it is. Alex Aiden, my co-host for the Purple Project Podcast, reaction time from UCF opener. Or they made a debut over the weekend last week here in Manhattan, Kansas, as K-State beat UCF in an interesting game, 44-31, as we continue our recap coverage from that game. Alex out there in San Diego, California. Alex, how you doing tonight?
Doing good, Eddie. Doing good. It is a, it's Monday, so, what of it? But hey, it was a good weekend for me. All my football teams won. The Chiefs won 41-10. The Swifties were out in full force against City. And oh my gosh, if I hear anything else about Taylor, the funny thing, Eddie, is I don't listen to Taylor Swift. I'm not a Swiftie by any stretch of the imagination. But there was so much talk about Taylor Swift and the Kansas City Chiefs and Travis Kelce that I can't stop looking and listening to it because it's everywhere. So. But hey, you know what? I am here for the Swifties, and I'm here for the jokes, all the puns, and all that stuff. And I'm here to ride the Taylor Swift roller coaster and stuff as long as the Chiefs keep winning, man. As long as the Chiefs keep winning, I'm good at that. But they won. K-State won. Everything was right in the world. And this upcoming weekend, K-State can't lose because they're on a bye. So that's one win right there. So. We'll see if the Chiefs can take care of the Jets, but it was a good weekend. I'm excited to break down this UCF game that was a roller coaster. I'll say that it was a roller coaster. There's a lot of really good things in the game, which we'll talk about, and there were a lot of stuff still worked on. I'll say that.
Yeah, by the way, K-State Nation, if you have not listened to my reaction from the U.S. UCF game, go check it out right now before you listen to this podcast there. I mentioned most of that on that reaction, and Taylor Swift, you have made the Pearl Project Podcast, so thank you, Alex Aiden, for that. Yeah, there was a lot of coverage of that, so that could be another podcast by itself, but K-State beats UCF 44-31, and we're going to start off the offense there. There were definitely some good and some bad, but overall, Alex, what do you think about the offense? There was a lot of talk going into this game about the concern about will Howard play? Will Avery Johnson make a start? Well, Avery did not even play. Didn't even step on the field in this game. Will Howard was okay throughout most of this game, but DJ Giddens was definitely the story, or I should say the MVP of this game. No Trayshawn Ward at all in this ball game there. One for DJ Giddens. I think this is a different game. But generally, what were your thoughts about the offense in this football game on Saturday night?
Yeah, real quickly, just one quick note on Avery. I saw a couple people complaining about, Avery, there was, it was Will Howard, and they didn't play Avery. They didn't play in a snap. And in my mind, I'm thinking, and what's the problem with that? They didn't need him. So if you don't need him, why would you play him? You have something going to DJ Giddens, and Will Howard is able you know, to do what he needed to do. I don't understand what the gripe was there. Again, I expect him to play more than four games. I do expect that to happen, but don't play him if you don't have to play him, because if you can't get him through the season playing four games or less, take the red shirt. I'm not saying it's a be all end all or anything like that. It shouldn't. You should give you the best chance to win, but if you don't need him, don't just throw him out there to play him when you could potentially, you know, you don't know what will happen down the season either way. I won't go down that road. DJ Gittens, that is what I will say about the offense. DJ Gittens, that was the offense. I mean, that was the offense for K-State. K-State had 82 plays on offense. By the way, outplayed. They had more plays, 82 to 59. 82 plays for K-State, 59 for UCF. And of the 82 plays, DJ Gittens was targeted on 40 of the 82. So he had 30 carries. He had 8 receptions, and he had 10 targets passing. So if you include the 10 targets plus 30 carries, that's 40 of the 82 plays that are intended for DJ Gittens. He literally was touching the ball damn near half of the snaps of the entire game. He ended the game with 200 and what was it? Was it 200 and
293.
Yes. Yeah. I don't like that. I don't know. ESPN. Maybe I can't do that. I probably can't do that. Anyway, 293 yards, 4 touchdowns. Completely dominant. 30 carries, 207 yards. 8 receptions, 86 yards. Part of the reason he had so many receptions is because K-State had all their receivers got hurt. I mean, they had no one by the end of the game. So they had no Arjun Garcia. Keegan Johnson was limited. Seth Porter got banged up. And Jay Jackson got banged up as well. So they had no ones. I mean, that was part of it. But still, 8 receptions, 86 yards. He was a bell cow. He was absolutely what they leaned on, and he got the job done. And let's give an assist to the offensive line as well, Eddie, because they did not play well against Mizzou. They did not play very well against Troy. They were pretty underwhelming against SEMO, and they had to step up and play. I mean, it was time. It was put up or shut up time for that O-line.
Yeah.
And they put up. They put it up and they opened holes, and DJ Gittens was able to take advantage of it, and they kept Will Howard clean. And that was something that was really important. So big kudos to the offensive line. They definitely get a big assist for, you know, DJ Gittens and his performance. And DJ Gittens, again, that storyline, I cannot even begin to explain how amazing that performance was from him. He was just a complete man on a mission, and as a K-State fan, you've just got to be ecstatic about what he did, and you got to be really, really pleased with what K-State was able to do on the offensive line. So that's obviously the biggest storyline. Outside of that, I thought that Vincent had another pretty nice game. You know, he had a good game against Mizzou. He did drop that ball against Mizzou late, but I'm not gonna ding him for that like some did. He's the reason they were in that game against Mizzou. He had a good game against them. I thought he had a good game against UCF as well. He did drop the ball against UCF. But he did still have 5 receptions, 64 yards, and he did make some plays there. Had a nice 22-yard catch down there. Phillip Brooks, again, you know, he's just been Mr. Reliable, taking what they're giving him underneath. He had 6 receptions and 42 yards as well. So those two did really pop out. And, you know, Will Howard, his game was, pretty good. The interceptions, that's something we talked about against Mizzou. I think that's a conversation that we probably need to begin to look at. He's throwing an interception in every game this year.
Yep.
Only been one interception every game, but he has. He's being too loosey-goosey with the football. I mean, that's just, I'm not going to be too critical. I want Will Howard to be aggressive. I want him to take chances. That's what he is at his best. So I don't want to take that away from him. I don't want him to be scared to throw it into a tight window and it be intercepted. I don't want him to, but you got to know a time and place, and you got to know when the right decision is to dump something off or to throw something away and just not force it when it's not there. It was kind of the maturation process that Patrick Mahomes went through when he first got to the Chiefs. You want to make every single big play, and you wanted him to have that gunslinger mentality, but the next evolution, part of his evolution process was learning to be patient, learning to check things out, learning to control that offense a little bit better, being a little more precise with some of his passes, things like that. Not saying Will Howard's Patrick Mahomes, not at all. But that is kind of where what he needs to do in regards to his progression. He's too loose, too good to the football, and sometimes he's just making some throws where there's just nothing there. And they're just the ball that got intercepted was a bad throw. He never saw. I think it was the was that a linebacker that jumped out in front of it. And he never saw the linebacker. It was early in the game. I can't remember right off the top of my head, but I feel like that it may have been one where he just didn't see the defender there at all. Either that, or he fit it into a window that was not. There was nothing there. But it was not a good interception.
Yeah, it was not. It was not a good play. No.
No, it was not a good play, and it was a ball that shouldn't have been thrown. So he needs to clean that up. But he still made some nice passes. He still did some nice things. And kudos to him. He had some really big runs on a bad leg in the fourth quarter. Finishes seven rushes, 64 yards. And again, man, he couldn't really move. The fact that he was even out there playing tells you everything you need to know about Will Howard. It sure sounded like he was not going to play. And look, I'm going to say sorry to Fitz and Vance. I came on last week saying, oh, Fitz thinks he's not going to play. I do not believe that, and it's a whole spiel. And then it turned out I was wrong. And no, it legitimately looked like he was never going to play. And so it sounded like Avery was going to get to go. And Will Howard, man, he progressed. He had a really good, I think he wasn't great Thursday, but he did a little bit better Friday. And I think they said that, the fact it was a night game, gave him 12 more hours to prepare. That ultimately kind of helped him get over that hurdle. But Will Howard used his legs in the fourth quarter when he needed to use his legs. And Chris Kleiman mentioned that in his post-game press conference that UCF was keying in on some things. They were keying in on some things with BJ Gibbs. They were keying in on some things in the passing game. And Will Howard had to be able to use his legs to get them that win. And that's what he did. And, freaking warrior for doing that. So was the offense perfect? No, not at all. Will Howard, he needs to tighten it up. Vincent, two drops, back-to-back weeks. He needs to, find a way to hold on to the football. But you know what? There's a lot to like. And you're leaving this game, Eddie, and you had 536 total yards. So you still had a good day against a defense I believe was ranked 36th in the country, according to I think that's what Cole Hammock said on the 3-ball. So top 40 defense, you finished 536 total yards. You will take that. And again, all of the love goes to you to get into this one.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast.
Yeah, definitely. DJ Giddens, the story of this ball game on Saturday night. The Purple Project Podcast rolls on. Week 4 reaction. K-State wins the Big 12 opener over UCF 44-31. Eddie Greer in Manhattan, Kansas. Alex Aiden out there in San Diego, California. DJ Giddens, 209 on the ground. Well, 207 net yards there, 30 killer carries there in this game. Yeah, there was a lot of one thing before we go to the defense real quick on Will Howard. There was a lot of grumbling. I know you watched this game on FS1. I was at the game, obviously. There's a lot of grumbling in my area about Will Howard. And a popular thing that came up, yes, the four games. Four interceptions. So there was a lot of that going on. Yeah. Will Howard was way long with his throws as well. And he threw it a lot of tight spots where I was sitting at as well. There were a lot of close throws right there. And you don't want to take that aggressive from him. But yeah, some of that, he needs to be a little bit more careful with where he's trying to throw the football there as well. So hopefully, use the bye week there to clean things up there a little bit on the offense. But yeah, there's a lot to like, but there's also some slight concerns there as well. The offensive line was the story heading into this game. Will they be able to finally step up? You are the strength of this offense. Can you step up to the plate and deliver? And the offensive line finally did that in this football game. So hopefully carry that momentum to the bye, which is this week, by the way, K-State Nation, for a Friday night tilt with Oklahoma State next week in Stillwater. So hopefully they can build off that and go down to Oklahoma State and do what they need to do down there as well. But defense, still the same issues as I talked about in reaction, giving up big plays there. And it went for UCF's blunders. There were a lot of them, including three false starts late in the fourth quarter. Thanks to the crowd, Chris Klieman didn't mention us in that press conference there how loud it was. It was definitely loud in the fourth quarter. UCF, Timothy McClain could not handle the crowd at Bill Snyder Family Stadium. But, man, some of those guys are pretty quick on UCF's defense, and there are still some things to clean up, definitely on the defensive side of the ball. Too many big plays in the secondary, more another miscommunication. I don't know what's going on this year with Kobe Savage there, but he needs to tighten up there. And I referenced him a couple of times in the rapid reaction there as well. But third down, K-State defense cannot get off the field. Third and long, there's too many big plays given up there. No excuse whatsoever there. So I'm not going to get on my rant because I already had that. So you missed it. Again, go check it out there. But Alex, what are your overall thoughts on the defense after their performance at UCF?
Yeah, you know, Eddie, not great. not great. And look, I'm not horrible either. During the game, I think it was more frustrating than when the game is over and you kind of step back and you look at the game and you kind of look at the stats and realize, okay, you know, the defense did a little bit better than, you know, I thought. But you also need to realize, you know, UCF did what they did on 52 plays on offense. Like, they didn't run a lot of plays. If they would have run more plays, who knows what would have happened. But you mentioned it. Secondary, too many breakdowns. I think that was definitely something that was evident. That is beginning to become a concern. It's me, dude. After Troy, I came on saying, I don't know why people are worried about the secondary, and then here we are, the last 2 weeks. they had some bad moments. Obviously, Kobe Hudson on the 69-yard flea flicker. That was not good. That was, in fact, very bad. That was, you know, K-State bit pretty good. They bit pretty good on that, Eddie. There was no one like 40 yards away from Frank.
Yeah, nobody near. Nobody close.
Yeah, that was not good. That one was not good. Johnny Richardson had a 48-yard run. I think it was the first or second drive that he broke right up the middle. That should have never happened. And you look at what UCF did. You know, they averaged 19 yards a pass. And that's just a lot of yards to pass. They did average over 4 yards to carry, but again, it's a little bit played because of that big 48-yard run from Johnny Richardson. But if you look at the game, UCF did average, I believe, over 10 yards a play, or it was somewhere near that. They averaged 10.6 yards per pass, and they averaged 4.2 on the ground. So that would actually be probably closer to 8 yards a play, something along those lines. Again, sorry, guys, I'm not going to math. I'm a college guy. it's not a great average, okay? You get the point, okay? too many yards per play. So K-State gave up too much, and they got some cleaning up to do on the defense, man. They need to figure it out with secondary. It is what it is. You know, the bye week is coming at a perfect time. You know, number one, because Casey's got a bunch of injuries that they need to address. But also, they need to figure something out defensively. Joe Klanderman needs, I think, 2 weeks to kind of see, okay, what are my player strengths? What are our weaknesses? Like, what do we legitimately need to run on the back end to make sure that these young guys are in proper position and we're not allowing – you know, we're not allowing for these big plays. You know, what can we do to tighten it up? Now, kudos to UCF. They've got a good offense. With McClain in a backup, as a backup quarterback. I mean, he was a starter at UCF last year. He's a veteran. He knows what he's doing. I mean, he's a good quarterback. So that's a good offense UCF's having, even with McClain. Even though it's not Plumlee, that's still a good offense. They're still going to score a lot of points with him. So, and Chris Klieman mentioned it. They're going to run a lot of trick plays. So that's something that's going to be in the bag for him. You know, K-State, still they need to find a way to be better. Now, you mentioned that, you know, K-State stepped up on that drive where they got two delay games. The crowd stepped up. It was huge. on that drive as well. And that really felt like that was the game changer in that game. You know, if UCF goes down there and scores, I think this is a game that probably goes down to the wire. But instead, KC was able to crack that game open after getting the ball back from that drive. And it feels like that kind of took the air out of UCF's sails and really gave K-State the momentum. So that was a big moment, I thought, in the game. And then just taking a quick look down at, you know, both teams made a lot of mistakes in this game. UCF, they had two turnovers. They had a fumble, interception. I will say McClain did say he took some risks. He did take some risks in that game. He threw a couple balls. I was like, what are you doing? And they just got caught. I'm like, how the hell did that get caught? That definitely happened a couple times. So UCF was also living good a couple times. So they did have a couple turnovers. So K-State did force those, and that is something that's encouraging. I do think that they were also able to get some pressure on McClain as well. Khalid Duke had two tackles for loss. He had another sack, because Khalid Duke is just, this is the Khalid Duke that we remember that is out there. And Des Purnell was a beast. I mean, he was fantastic in there. I think Chris Kleiman mentioned after the game that he's playing on all conference level right now. 300% with that. So that was good to see. So again, you know, there's some positives that you can take from the defense. But the defense has got to be better, and because going into Big 12 play, you're going to be going against some offenses, and they're going to score some points. And again, K-State can score some points too. But K-State might have to win some shootouts, man. The way the defense is playing, I mean, they might have to win some games in shootout fashion. And one final note, Eddie. I know we don't typically talk about special teams, but I do just want to get in.
You go ahead, because that's what we can talk about. That's what I'm going to talk about next. Yeah, real quick. Yep, go ahead.
It's horrible. Awful. Probably the worst game I've ever seen from a special team standpoint. K-State had like two or three penalties on special teams. Chris Tennant missed a 26-yarder. He missed an extra point. He kicked the ball out of bounds. And then again, they had two penalties on kickoffs. And then they also allowed returns like the 35 and the 40. Like, it was awful. It was horrible. Oh, and they had Keegan Johnson and Phil Brooks running into each other while trying to catch a kick. Dude, I don't know what the hell was going on special teams. They figured it out. Like, holy moly, Eddie. Holy moly. It was awful. It was embarrassing. It was embarrassing. I wasn't going to say it, but it was embarrassing. I mean, this is K-State. We're special teams to you. What the hell are we doing out there? So that's what they need to clean up, Eddie, because special teams, I don't want to get in a rant here, but special teams, that's going to lose them a game if they don't get that cleaned up. I'm not kidding. That will lose them a football game if they don't get it cleaned up. Figure it out. And you know what? I'm just going to say this too. K-State got the win. They did a lot of really good things, and I'm really, you know, they did not let that Mizzou loss turn into another loss. But they were too sloppy. There were too many mistakes. And get it figured the bleep up. You know, get it figured the bleep out. Get it figured the bleep out, dude. Clean it up. Just clean it up. It was too sloppy, dude. It was just too sloppy. I'm not going to get on that rant, but after the game, I was happy we won, but it was way too sloppy. And a ton of it came from special teams. They got to clean it up. They have got to clean it up.
Yeah, Chris Tennant.
But they won, Eddie. They won, and they played well in certain areas. So I'm not going to beat the drum too hard on that. I'm just looking out for moving forward.
Yeah, and moving forward is a bye week now, currently, starting this week, obviously, for the Cats there. Yeah, Chris Tennant, that was pretty bad. Yeah.
Flashbacks of last year.
Yeah, that was a critical stretch here. I know we're running out of time. Quick on this postcast, Eddie Greer, Alex Aiden, continuing the reaction from the U.S., the UCF win over the weekend here on the Pro Project Podcast there. After this, I'm going to go ahead and record a volleyball segment here right after this. So I'm going to save that for a separate segment right after this. But, yeah, Chris Tennant missing the field goal there. K-State, before halftime, could have stretched out their lead out a little bit more, but missed some opportunities there. And on offense there, missing the reaction show, there's a lack of awareness as well on a key fourth down there. But luckily, All is right there in the fourth quarter there as UCF could not stop DJ Giddens, and Will Howard made them pay in the fourth quarter with a couple of big runs, as you mentioned there as well. So, yeah, K-State 44, UCF 31. All that matters is, yes, Alex, we got the win there. Improved to 3-1, and more importantly for right now, 1-0 in the conference, joining West Virginia. Yes, I said it. West Virginia, Iowa State, TCU, Texas, Oklahoma, and KU. Quickly, Alex, any more other thoughts on the conference as we head into the bye week?
Yeah, you know, I'm glad you brought that about the offense, because that actually is a great place to put a bow on it. The K-State offense against Mizzou, they had the lead. They couldn't really get, like, the kill drive, right? And that's what killed them, and that's what led them to lose. Mizzou, they could not put Mizzou away on a drive. They had the same issues against UCF. They didn't really have a drive. It was like a kill drive. They were letting UCF hang in the game, and they had opportunities to put them away, and they weren't putting them away. One thing that I think that's another area they need to improve. I think there are really two areas. Special teams, you need to clean that up. Offensively, you've got to find a way to, when you got a team on the ropes, to deliver the knockout punch. K-State just 2 weeks in a row has not been able to do that, and they've got to be able to put their foot down in that moment. So those are two areas that I think are really, really important for them to address. If they can't address them, I've said this before, my ceiling for them is still really, really high. I still think they can win 9-10 games. I really do. I have high expectations for them. And that's why I'm being critical on these things, because I'm judging them on a Big 12 championship curve, because that is my expectations for them. My expectation is it's winning 7 or 8 games. So those are really the two areas ahead of the bye. But going into the bye, the Mizzou loss still sucks. Still, you know, it still sucks. But you know what? You're 1-0 Big 12 play. You're going into a bye. Get healthy. Casey is so beat up right now. Get healthy. Go to Oklahoma State. Hopefully get a win there, because they're really reeling right now, and then see what happens. But I do still like where K-State's at moving forward. And do also want to say thoughts, prayers with Daniel Green. It was finally, we referenced last week in the pod that he was likely going to be out for the season, had been announced by the team, was announced the next day. He tore his pec, and he's out for the year. Just feel horrible for him, that's the way his thing's in for him. But again, you know, those K-State linebackers, Austin Romain, and them can come in and do him proud. And hey, how about Austin Romain, a freshman, true freshman, stepping in there, in the role of Camino Green. So, that's something that's at least, encouraging that he was, you know, decent out there.
All right. Alex, sir, we're going to be hearing a lot more from you next week here as we get ourselves caught up with what's been going on with K-State sports, obviously men's basketball, big news as well. We'll touch on that next week as well. So we'll be talking to you again, even though there's no football game this week. We'll be catching up again at the same time on Monday, and then probably another day, either Tuesday or Thursday. Sir, Alex, sir, have a good week. We'll talk to you next week, sir.
Sounds great. I hope everybody has a great rest of the week.
Thank you for listening to the Purple Project Podcast. Make sure you're subscribed to the show wherever you get your podcasts. We'll talk to you all on the next episode of the Triple P Podcast. Go Cats!